Hey
there, Hank. This your girl Dominique LeBlue. I am so glad you are on Anchor. Now I can listen to you while I drive. Anyways, much success. See you around. Bye.
Man, that's delicious. Oh, hey, how you doing? Again, with the sneaking up on me. Caught me enjoying my favorite beverage, a little coffee. Don't mind what the cup says. Some things you can't say yourself, but you know what I'm saying? A sign tells of many, 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 many stories. Hey, you know it is. It's your boy, Big Tank Hank, coming at you with another live stream, and we in the fishy den. We got a spotlight today. And I'm gonna be transparent. Stephen Rollins, Warrior Planet Tanks, is a friend of mine. I don't want it to seem like it's nepotism or anything like that, because this gentleman has so much to give in the fish hobby. Insights, knowledge, there's not much you can throw at him in regards to this hobby, fresh or salt, that he don't know something about and he can't tackle. But that's not all I want you to know about him. He's been in YouTube on the fish side for a while. Small hiatus, but he's ready to jump back into this thing full force. And for those that don't know him, I want you to get to know him. For those of you that do know him, maybe some things you forgot about him, and we're gonna remind you. We're gonna do a little slight dive into, you know, his life, personal life, where he's been, where he's going, you know. But we're gonna let him touch on that. So let me bring him on up and continue to waste your time. What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, could you still hear me backstage when I was talking?
I did. Yeah, I was back here. It's like, it's hard to hear people say, I'm just being me, man. So I'm humbled by that. Like, I'm all shaking up, like, emotional. But thank you, big bro. That's what's up, man. I appreciate you saying those kind things about me like that. That's like no pressure, right?
Yeah, no.
Thank you, bro.
How are you? Take a deep breath. Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. God got a lot more out here for me to do, and I don't need him to scream it at me, you know. But sometimes, you know.
Hey. I think we all do.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, what we want ain't always what we need. And please give me what I need.
Hey, whether you want it or not.
Whether I want it or not. Brother!
Yes, sir.
I want you to give the people that don't know you an introduction. I don't mind the introduction. You can go around a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I just want them to get a kind of a whole picture of who you are. You know what I'm saying? Kind of what shaped you, what molded you, how you got in the hobby, you know? So when we get into this, we'll have a direction and everybody will be tracking with us.
Okay. Where do I start? Like Hank said, Steve, Warrior Planet Tanks. Been in the hobby since I was 9. And my focus is plants, but I like a little bit of everything, like you said. I'm a veteran, just got out of the military in 2021. So I got to transition through the pandemic. It was a challenge, but I'm here. So obviously I'm built for it. Could have been worse, could have been better. So I'm not gonna complain. Just relocated to Texas. from Houston, for you guys that don't know. And starting back, I launched a business, my website, warriorplantedtanks.com. I started selling plants, kind of like lunch money, selling plants for, you know, hey, I got a lot of this, I'm growing it, in 2017. And I launched my site in 2020. Then COVID hit, the rest is history. I still have the catalog up. We relocated here to Houston. I have a home, I'm stable now. Getting tanks set up, reestablishing connections, and we're getting back rolling slowly but surely. My dad, the kids, two dogs. What else you want to know? Just all around guy.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Your stint in the service. Where did it take you? Like, you know, some of the ports of call, you know, some of the things you've seen.
Well, I was in the Navy, and been a lot of cool places, man. Anywhere specific, like if you pick a name of country or name of continent, that's better. Mm-hmm.
Europe.
Yeah. Europe. Amsterdam was cool. What I remember. Israel was cool. Turkey's awesome. Germany, been to Germany. Germany's nice. The UK's nice. Italy. The culture is awesome, man. And I like food. So anywhere that's got good food, I'm down. Like, hands down, Europe, as far as food's concerned, Greece, Greek people, man. They don't pull no punches. They eat. You understand? Like, as far, like, because we're Houstonians. We like comfort food. We Texas, you know, we food now. We fry butter in Texas. So that right there, that passion, that right, Greek, the Europeans, they encapsulated the best. I know it's going to make a lot of people mad, but my experience, yeah. Greek people, yeah, man. They cook. Okay. They fry a lot of stuff. It's delicious.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, when in Europe, specifically Germany, because that's an interesting place for me in regards to the fish hobby. Did you have a chance to do a little, I don't want to say fact finding, because I don't know what would have started your journey, but did you get any time to experience some of the hobby in Germany?
No, and it's unfortunate too, because I'm really like, I'm down with the Europeans got a whole different style, and I like that style. Like, I like the nuts and bolts of their style, you know what I'm saying? But not to name drop, but YouTubers and stuff, for example, you know, like George Former, like you know, those guys like that, you know, the tropical plants, that whole stick, you know, they're European, you know? And then, like, I like to put my twist on it, give it that Texas twang, if you will, but it's still classy. You know, we're classy people here, but I didn't get a chance there. However, I got to go to pet stores in the Middle East. Got to go to a pet store in Dubai. That was dope. Got to go to a pet store in Turkey, in Istanbul. They're scaping over there. Shotguns ain't the only good thing coming out of Turkey. If you guys have a chance, Google some Turkish aquascapers. There's a guy I follow on Instagram. I don't want to missay his name, but it's like something turk.do or something like that. We have to find it, but they're doing real good stuff over there. They're doing good stuff.
Definitely, most definitely. Because, I mean, yeah, I've always had this, I mean, well, you know, especially if you don't move around, if you don't leave the United States, you know, where you're using the television and stuff of that nature to develop this picture in your head of what's really going on. I've always had this eagerness or desire to know exactly, you know, how they're doing it, as especially opposed to how we are. Not that one is better than the other, but there can be so much extremes in regards to differences that, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's say Japan, because in everything, every aspect, outside of the fish hybrid, just everything, Japan is like an open book to an extent. You know, they are very proud of everything that they do. And what they do is almost whole opposite of us.
Right.
You know, the things that they focus on, yet they still embrace learning the English language and wanting to learn all about American culture. And they even integrate it to an extent, but they have their own way of doing a whole bunch of stuff. Like, let's say the pet stores with a little bitty tanks with 1,000 fish in it.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't see if they're throwing fish away at these pet stores, but I mean, I've watched a few, you know, a few behind the scenes videos where, you know, how they have the filtration turned up and how the water, every drop of water is turned over and replaced, you know, a crazy amount of times, you know, in an hour, which kind of explains how they do it. But over here, I wish you would walk into a pet store and see them selling fish like that. Man, your pet store would be open for maybe another 2 or 3 days and they would shut you smooth down.
You know, it's so awesome that you bring that up, man. It's a call. You see me, I'm taking a deep breath. I'm looking down because it's like, I have to control myself. You know what I'm saying? It's a cultural thing, right? So it's the same thing with fish keeping, as with food, as with all these different things. And you miss so much. You miss so much by saying that your way is the only way, you know? And this is the standard. This is the standard. And such and such doesn't do it like this, or blah, blah, blah. And what you said is the most substantial thing, which is, you gave an example, but the gist of it is, the lesson in the parable is the other side of the coin, meaning they don't see the filtration, turning this water over an exponential amount of times. They don't see all the other things going on behind the scenes, much less just looking at the fish, right? Animal husbandry. Are they healthy? Do they have nipped fins? Are they gill burnt? Are they showing signs of stress? Or do they look like they live in their best life? You know? And I don't know what you would call that. Would you call it arrogance? I think cultural arrogance is an American thing. And I can say that because I am American. We're not the only people that are culturally arrogant, but our cultural arrogance is our own brand. Because we're a culture island. It's almost like an oxymoron where America is this amalgam of people, right? It's like this microcosm, this melting pot of cultures, right? But at the same time, we're this culture island where it's just America, America, America. And the only time we hear anything about the rest of the world is juxtaposed to our superiority. You see what I'm saying? And this is in lieu of me being a veteran. I'm just taking a responsible, objective approach. I did notice that. And I do notice that I have an unorthodox style of keeping fish. And it's worked for me. It does work for me. And my style of keeping fish is unorthodox here, but this is stuff that people around the world do, and it works. And I think what it is it's not necessarily the specificity of the thing, right? It's who is presenting that thing. Because if it don't get the approval of the peanut gallery, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's going to determine how it's received. So if somebody in the peanut gallery does something, right? Based on that person's reputation and such and such, such and such, and the people in the peanut gallery, it's going to always be the usual suspect. They're going to rise to the challenge and applaud this, even though it's a deplorable thing. But it's, we got reputation here at stake. This has been the case in the hobby for the whole time that I've been in here. And I'm, look here, like, so this Igapo Pico Bowl would have been considered animal cruelty about 15 years ago. I've been doing these since I was a kid. This is why I'm able to go, I can put 10 neon tetras in 3 gallons of water and put no technology in it, a minimal amount of plants. And this is a stable ecosystem. This thing's stable. This is probably the most stable thing I have in my house. I got tanks with good filtration systems on it, you know, life support systems that I've spent money on. But see, the peanut gallery comes out and they, oh, I'm gonna put it here and I'm gonna touch on it in this gallery and look at me and I got my little mister and chef's kiss. Everybody just, oh yes, you know, that's a cultural thing. That's America. We have to be sold the dream. If there's no gimmick attached to it, the average person with, you know, average discernment, they're not going to want to entertain it because we're not there anymore where you can push the card and forge ahead new ideas and understand that that is the backbone of everything that we have. We're not there anymore. It's, you know, on the freaking phone. Let me see. Who approves? It's not, hey, bro, get a bucket and a cooler and bring your butt over here to my house on a Sunday and we're going to talk. Wife's cooking. You're going to eat some food. You're going to get some of these plants over here. You're going to get you some of that over there. And you're going to get you some of that over there. And next time you got something extra, you return the favor, you know, pay it forward. That's community. That used to be how it was. And, it, you know, to an extent, yeah, but I think the people coming into it via this, even though the irony is that we're doing a live stream, but see, I'm being responsible. So if I'm going to try to call myself creating a social media presence, then I'm going to be responsible about it. Because you can't come to my house and have a coffee and X, Y, and Z because you're consuming it via social media. I think to me that is, you know, community. So that's what I see different. The Europeans, they're more worried about it being what it is. See, like, they know that in 6 months, that beautiful aquascape is going to look like crap, and they're probably going to have to put them plants somewhere else, or X, Y, and Z. And it's a responsibility thing, you know? It's, if that's what it is, that's what it is. There ain't no gimmicks, you know? That's kind of disingenuous, you know? I'm going to mislead people. I tried to candy coat it. I can't. It's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I do agree. Because we want people to, if you're going to follow me,
I want to be taking you somewhere constructive.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna follow me, I don't want to be leading you into danger. Or if you're gonna follow me, I don't want to lead you out somewhere. Point, run, and not leave. I've left you out there lost. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be.
Right.
No, I can understand that. I can understand it. And we saying we need to do better because we hear it. We need to change. Mm-hmm. We hear it.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is for not. It's for not.
Right.
Because it doesn't really exist.
You could just do it.
That means everybody would have to.
Well, no, there's no accountability, see? That's the problem. How can you expect me to take you seriously if you bullshit me, for lack of a better way to say it? That's unkind. And it's flat out wrong. Hey, man, at the end of the day, it takes all types. It takes all flavors, you know? And I understand that. You know, respect is a reciprocal thing. And if you're going to start any relationship, any interaction, there has to be a decorum. There has to be respect. And the first place to start is not BSing someone.
Yeah.
That's accountability, you know? Call it what it is, man. Hey, if you want me on your channel to exploit me for views, then do that. You know, if you want to do a collab because X, Y, and Z, then do that. Say that's what it is out front, you know? But don't waste my time. That's disrespectful. You see what I'm saying? If you want to be friends, then let's be friends. But if you just want to be an acquaintance and benefit off my likeness, if you will, then just call that what it is. And these are examples. You definitely can pick up what I'm putting down. But I think that goes to, once again, that goes to accountability. 1,000%.
Most definitely. Now, using that as a segue,
mm-hmm.
because this is why we're here.
Yes, sir.
YouTube present, where we've already touched on accountability. We've touched on not mm-hmm. bullshitting people.
Yes, sir.
What direction are you wanting your channel to go at this point?
At this point. At this point, I want it to be a tool to reach people. Here's the deal. Life is hard enough as it is. Yes, we can agree. I'm in the hobby to help mitigate life being hard. The hobby is my refuge, if you will. It's nice, it's therapeutical, and it's something that's rather pleasurable and enjoyable. I want my channel to be a safe haven for people who feel the same way about the hobby. No drama, no nonsense. If you quote unquote been in long, then you got some people who you can be excited about and share ideas with. If you brand new, then you got a place to where you can come and not worried about being eaten alive for asking a question. Because everybody got to crawl before they walk, you know.
Yep.
Vlogs. And really now, this is a catalog for me to remember all my projects. And I encourage other people that have YouTube channels to be cognizant of that. Being in the military, and that's why I coined the term gypsy style. I've been poor my whole life. You know, unstable, basically, growing up with being raised by extended family, etc. But I've always been able to tank. I've always been able to take my work with me. I'm a gypsy. Being in the military, the same thing, you know. Every 4 or 5 years, you got to pack up and go to another duty station. Tank the whole time. the whole time. And I want to share that knowledge with people to say, hey, look, it's doable. Let's share ideas. Let's bring the community back to the fish keeping community.
Gotcha. Now, you to help you press forward on coining a terminology, a tank terminology, gypsy style tanking. You just you know broke down what it is to you. I'm gonna give you a challenge that's gonna actually give some people out here some insight on what that actually means.
Okay.
How do I dry start an aquarium?
How do you dry start an aquarium? It is easy. It's really easy. Substrate. Let's get our materials first. Tank. Substrate. Plants. Light. CO2, if applicable. Water. Okay. You're gonna add your substrate first. You're gonna moisten your substrate. Moisten, not drown. Let me explain this process so that you can understand it a little better. You know, I gotta do that for the people. All a dry start is, let me de-glamorize this. There's no such thing as an aquatic plant. Hey, prove me wrong. That'll make you learn, you'll go Google it. There's no such thing as an aquatic plant. Plants are amphibious, which means that they can live in wet environments. Some of them can live fully immersed. There's a few that can actually replicate their life cycle fully immersed. But plants, as we know them, a seed, a flower, a fruit, a plant, not an algae, not a moss. We're not talking about bryophytes, and I can do biology too. Just simple, bare bones. A plant, they're amphibious. What the dry start is doing is taking advantage of atmospheric CO2, regular air. You know, you learn it in biology. Trees breathe CO2. That's why they need to stop cutting down the rainforest. And you know, people get Nobel Prizes for saying it's too hot and the polar bears, all that. CO2. So, the dry start is taking advantage of that CO2 and giving those plants the opportunity to get established rooted growth in a amphibious environment to be flooded at a later time to enjoy in the tank. So that's basically what you're doing. Substrate, plants, cover, because it's about humidity. So you're gonna basically make a greenhouse. You're making a greenhouse in an aquarium. You're locking in the humidity. You're also locking in the CO2, and the plants are getting a chance to basically grow in a greenhouse environment. Do you have a second? Can I go grab something?
Yeah.
It's real close, and it'll help the people understand, because I really want to demystify this. I'm glad you asked me that. Give me one moment.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. There's a lot of stuff we hear in the fish hobby. We hear it, and we act like we know what it actually means, and we don't.
And well, not just because society is like this. Dude, it's okay to not know something. But what's not okay is sitting up here talking a bunch of shit like you know what you're talking about. Like, at least Google it. If you're going to act like you know what you're talking about, at least repeat something you read off Google if you ain't never done it before. So in this flower pot, this bag, this is a zolocacia, okay? And if you look at here, you can see the humidity on the bag. Like, honestly, this is a dry start. This is a dry start. If you replicated this process in an aquarium, This is essentially a dry start. You are basically giving 100% humidity to the plant, letting the plant, and this old acacia is not an aquarium plant. I'm using distinct principles. And you're giving the plant the ability to take advantage of the atmospheric carbon dioxide. And that's all you're doing. So I'm going to open this one and I'll show you what I'm talking about. It's just a regular, it's just a Zolacacia that I bought on discount that was frozen. And there you go. It's just a regular Zolacacia. And it was winter. I wanted to sprout it anyway, and I did. In a Ziploc bag, in a freaking flower pot with a little bit of substrate, and a stick. Sticks to keep the bag off the leaf when it gets heavy from the condensation. But that's basically it in a nutshell. It's not rocket science. Put water in it incrementally after you get them going. So basically, let's say we're going to do a Monte Carlo carpet. Yeah. And you're going to plant the Monte Carlo. And it's going to be, your gravel is going to be dry in the sense of it's not submerged in water. It will be wet because it has to be. Now, here's the thing. The humidity is what allows this all to take place. No humidity equals no dry start. I don't even know why they call it freaking dry start, because it's an oxymoron. It's got to be wet. Like, you need humidity or it won't work. So you incrementally flood it as you go through time. What you're doing is you're giving the plant a chance to what I refer to as flip. So outside, atmosphere, different leaf form, different growth form. It's taken in light, doing photosynthesis differently, because light filters through the air differently than it does through the water, okay? The plant needs time to adjust to that. So you're incrementally flooding this plant. The first thing that you have to think about is, how is the plant gonna breathe if it's a living thing, right? So you're giving the roots a chance to adjust first. Then the roots will send signals to start flipping the leaves, to start changing the growth form, okay? Once that happens, the plant is then able to continue its life cycle underwater. And that's basically a dry start demystified. Honestly, it's fun to do. Do it like with me. Methods are just that. It's a tool, man. You know, I'm not a polarized human being. I'm just me. I like what I like. I stopped doing what was cool a long time ago, man. I just do what I like now. Hey, if you want to do a dry start, go do one. It ain't better. It ain't worse. I don't want to sit here and say the pros and the cons. I dry started this tank over here because I wanted to. There's no reason. I had no methodology whatsoever behind doing it. I just wanted to. That's all. And that's how I roll with most stuff. Yeah. Do what you want.
All right. I got another one that's slightly connected.
Okay.
How do you know if a twig can be reinvigorated in an aquatic environment? A twig. You don't need to see greenery on it.
Okay, yeah, you're talking about propagating? Hell, I can show you better than I can tell you. Hold on. Give me un momento, por favor. Yeah, I can show you better than I can tell you. Hold on. Hold on, shit. I'll show you. Here goes it. I got a stick right here. I just got this from the Magnolias from my botanical, so that you know me. These are actually a gift from you, I think. Low key. And they're ready. They're cured and ready to go in the shrimp tank. So it's easy, man.
And for those who remember me back in, you know, back in the day at the beginning of this, and I had my betters and I was telling you about the magnolia leaves as opposed to the catapa or catapang leaves, you know, the almond leaves. And I was telling you how magnolia leaves can be used. That's
they got the medicine in them too. This is their, that's who got medicine I got, in them.
That's who I got the idea from. And I've been doing ever since.
So this stick, it ain't gonna grow because it's dead. To tell, all you gotta do is look for the life. So, like, if you can scrape this bark, so this, I think this is the corum, I think is what this little white part is called. Some plant, some, like, I'm not a botanist, man. I just educate my, because I have trust issues. So that's why I read and stuff, you know, that ass. I'm not a nerd. I just, I got a big heart. I got trust issues. So I think this is called the corum. But either way, this white part right here, that's supposed to be green, okay? And what happens is, I think it's like capillary action or some shit, right? It's like a tunnel. So you cut this part and it makes like a straw vacuum thing with pressure and cells and stuff. I'm not gonna give a biology lesson. But anyway, it draws water and it does that. And then what's gonna happen is it roots because of that. And if it shoots out roots, it's gonna shoot out buds and leaves. Once again, humidity is so important. I had this igapo going, right? And I had the wood growing in here. And I think like I was doing, got busy in school or something and missed like a week or whatever. It's when I started going to all classes after they finished COVID. And I missed this thing. Like, you know, once every few days I would miss it because we got hard water and I don't want the spot. But long story short, I didn't miss it. And she said, screw you, and she's gone. So that's the wrap on that one. You know, everything else in there is still growing quite well. You can see it. But yeah, that was a pear tree, believe it or not. The fruit wood, it stopped working because I didn't miss it. And it's cold. It was cold, and you know the rest. The heater's on, blah, blah, blah.
So you say,
yeah, that's basically it.
You can grow a pear tree submerged.
No, what that's called is water propagating.
Okay.
And it's just the same principle. That's how they have hydroponic, aeroponics, and aquaponics. It's just manipulating growth. That's all. I mean, there's really nothing, you know, mind-blowing about it. At the end of the day, it's like draconian technology at best. You know what I'm saying? Stick that in there and it'll grow. But people like to, whatever you need to do to make yourself feel special. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm giving a little insight. Dispelling myths.
Yeah.
You had a biotope you were doing that you dry started, and you had twigs.
Yeah, it's up.
With no nodes, as far as I could see, and it germinated, and is it still rolling?
It's rolling. I flooded it though, and it's still, that's the whole simulation. I flooded it. Once I flooded it, it killed all the leaves because that tree is not supposed to grow in water, but guess what? Look at the creator. Look at how divinity creates. biotopes is so awesome. So in the Amazon River, right, you got like 25-foot, 40-foot freaking flood stage water, right? It ain't no different than that water bamboo you got at the house in that tank behind you or whatever. It's just to scale. You got a tree that's like 180 foot tall. 40 foot of water ain't nothing to that damn tree. As long as the canopy is exposed and can breathe and photosynthesize, it's evolved over time to stay wet. And that's all I did was just manipulate what's already programmed into the plant. Yeah, I mean, I'm one of them kind of people. If it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. I try something else. Growth mindset, you know? Gotcha. I'm always going to win.
Yeah. Gotcha. I got another dice that I'm rolling.
What you got?
How does a plenum work?
A plenum? Man, I'm telling you. What's his name? Old Dr. K?
Hey, wait.
He went on there.
A plenum without a lift tube.
Without a lift tube? Bro, it's just air. It's just air and bacteria. Without trying to sound smart and blah, blah, blah. Point blank period, to the point, it's air. You got bacteria, right? The bacteria is what makes the life cycle possible. So, the idea behind the plenum is water is able to move through the substrate, delivering oxygen to the bacteria that need them, thus allowing those bacteria to facilitate their functions as they would in nature, keeping your tank clean. I guess the side effect of that is a clean tank or a tank that doesn't need electricity, minimal equipment, if you will, essentially. It's a filter.
Gotcha.
It's a filter.
Gotcha, because this tank right here, it, for the people, that one.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous amount of substrate. It looks good.
I have there's no lift tube, and my tank gasses off naturally by itself often.
Really?
Not one life was lost.
No.
But some people have been told, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, the gas, man, you know, to kill them. The bubble is, well, solid is not the word for it, but it has a rigid structure underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing escapes that bubble until it breaks the surface, which in turn breaks the membrane of the bubble. Ooh. So once it breaks the surface, what's in it comes out into the atmosphere, but not into the water.
They're mixing two things together. And I think what happens is people mix stuff. You know what I'm saying? So the phenomenon you're talking about is when you get gas pockets in your substrate. And that can happen to anybody. Doesn't matter if you got deep substrate or not. So stuff's decomposing. You get anaerobic bacteria. You get, what is it, H2S gas, or sulfuric hydrogen sulfide, I think. Yeah, it smells like rotten eggs. And yeah, that'll gas your fish. That'll kill your fish. True story, the Pantanal simulation that I did when I was in Virginia. I alluded to it on a video. Y'all got to go check that video out. But I had gas pockets in there because I was finding, like, it would just be fish dead. You know, I'm okay. I'm thinking I got a pretty hot substrate, because I did, you know, because I had, y'all seen it. It was nice. Leaf litter. I'm running a hot substrate. It's just spoils of war, you know. But those gas pockets, man, those Corydora pygmaeus that go rooting around in that stuff, doing what they supposed to. And they hit one of them gas pockets and it off like 2-3 HY511. It take off a Pristilla.
Hey,
like straight up.
Yeah. That's one of those things of direct injection almost.
It's learning though. You see what I'm saying? That's how you learn, right? But here's the deal. I'm going to tell you that's what happened. It's not to scare you. It's to say, hey, my plenum wasn't as good as I thought it was. There was some, what it was some pockets where there wasn't no lava rock, there wasn't no sand, there wasn't no gravel, nothing. It was just straight packed and it turned into mud, essentially. And that's what it was.
Hold on. You froze. Let's see if we can let, there we go, there we go. I think, wave your hand. Okay, there you go, there you go. There you go. All right. Because we missed all of that right there that you were saying. Yeah. It turned to mud. After that, we didn't get.
Yeah, it just turns to mud. There's no oxygen able to get through the substrate. So when there's no water moving through your substrate, there's no air moving through your substrate. A plenum is an underground filter on steroids, man. That's all it is. You put your separation, you build your stratified layers, you put your lift, you hook it up to your pump, water goes through it. It's underground filter. That's all it is.
Now,
think of, I said, spring water.
Gotcha. I said that to go to me, speaking of my tank gassing out. This has been called a plenum when it's not really. You see what I'm saying? Rudimentary at best, but in a sense of what happens in nature. Same right. Type of substrate, same thing you got going on, and we're from the country. If you've been in any ponds or anything, you see them gas off.
Yeah, they'll flip. That's what I was just gonna say. Ponds flip all the time. It's normal. It's a natural thing.
And I wanted people to understand. You said mixing two things. It happens so often that you have to be careful. We have to be careful with how and what we explain to people. Right. Cause you got people that go viral on some stuff, but they're headed in one direction.
It's called bro science.
As opposed to doing this while they're explaining, you know, cause you have to do this. Why you explain it? Because if everybody's right here with you, oh, it sounds good, man, I can do that, and you missed a whole bunch of stuff out here, you can call somebody to lose a whole lot of money, a whole lot of stock, love for the hobby. I mean.
No, 1,000%. That's kind of what I alluded to earlier, but I'm going to digress from that.
Yeah, no, we don't want to beat that dead horse up. What do you think? Touching on whether it's better or not, your enriched substrates, man-made, as opposed to just using sand or gravel or to grow plants.
Well, it depends on the application, obviously, and what you want, okay? I will say that if you're inexperienced, use the enriched stuff. I use the enriched stuff when I just want to lay a tank. I ain't got time, you understand? I want it to look good. I want to plug and play. It's convenient. It's the good stuff. I know it. Boom. Do I end up augmenting it at a later time? Yeah, probably. But for right then and there, if I just need that thing to go, that's what I use. If you have time to play, I would say that everybody should try to experience it. Here's the thing. You gotta learn how to let go of fear, man. And that's the worst thing to me, I think. You know me, bro. I'm a loquacious individual. I'm long-winded as hell, but I don't talk to a whole lot of people. I'm a recluse. You know this.
Yep. So
if I do have the opportunity to share a conversation with you, I'm gonna talk your freaking ear off. Because I don't talk to a whole lot of people. And one of the worst things I see is these the YouTube channels and the chat rooms and the forums and all that stuff, and they're scaring the hell out of these people. And nobody wants to kill their fish. But I think that people forget that this is nature. This is nature. There's tigers, crocodiles, hawks, electric eels, Sasquatches, dogmans, whatever you want to call it. There's stuff out there. There's monsters that can eat you and will eat you. And they do eat fish. Everything that you have swimming in your tank is on the menu for something else. And if you can stay cognizant of that, just educate yourself. Stop being paranoid. And accept the fact that your fish are going to die. I hate to say it that way. Then you can really start to enjoy the hobby and stop worrying about who said what. Like, but I think it's because I'm on a different side of the hobby. I'm just coming into contact with stuff so much. Well, I just have a different, I look at it different. You know,
brother, we got about 6 minutes left.
Okay, what you got?
And I hate it because I started something, you know, and now I'm gonna have to augment myself just simply because I'm doing a recording and I'm limited on time.
I understand.
So is there anything that you want to give from you? You know what I'm saying? Thoughts, feelings, website, promotion.
Yeah, the website is warriorplantanks.com. Here's the deal. It's up. The catalog's up. You just can't buy nothing. COVID. I'm still working some technical issues on the back end. However, you can reach me on Instagram. I stay on Instagram. Facebook as well. Shoot me a message on Messenger. If there's something that you would like, let me know. I have Neos on. I have Neos on deck, and I have some a limited selection of plants available right now. Videos are coming out. I am a college student, so I want my people to bear with me. Quality over quantity when it comes to the videos. And I really appreciate everybody because I'm starting to have fun again. And that's what this hobby is about. And that's what my YouTube channel is about. That's what it's going to continue to be about. Also, y'all be on the lookout. I got some stuff, some irons in the fire with a few friendly faces that y'all need to be looking forward to seeing real soon. And I appreciate the support, man. Stay tuned for what's coming. I'm approachable, man. Let's grow in this hobby.
Most definitely, most definitely. Yeah, this y'all, this is my brother right here.
Amen.
This is my brother right here. And I know him. And if there's any misconceptions, ask a question, people.
Yeah.
Ask a question. He says he has Messenger the whole nine. He has a wealth of knowledge, ideas. Oh man, this is gonna be a journey that's gonna be off the hook when he gets this channel rolling. It's gonna be off the hook. Loves the camera. He loves to be behind it. He definitely loves to be in front of it.
Really. You know, what's that song on there that dude says, "Hey man, why you not famous?" And then that boy says, "You don't share my shit."
Yeah, I'm like, trying to figure out, why
you know that this is the camera. Like, I can see your tanks, bro. Like, okay, look at, I got less than 1,000 subs, but look at my tanks, people. I implore you to. They will speak for themselves.
Most definitely.
They don't share my shit. I like it.
I think I got a little low. I got a little short on my channel that says that.
I want to put it on there, but everybody did it, so it's not original. And
yeah, you know, hey.
I want to be cool too, you know. So I'm just not gonna do it.
Oh yeah, I had to.
There's a couple songs that are cool, but they just, I'm not creative enough to figure out a way to make them relevant to Aquarium. Like that one song, that Run song, it says Run, and then they have this heavy metal guitar riff in the background.
Hey,
how can I make that relevant to fish without committing animal cruelty?
Show a colony of corridors doing what they normally do. They chilling, and then they take off, you know.
Hey, that would be kind of cool. Like, give them some blood worms or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got a few fish that you can show, put that in there, because they'll be chilling next thing. You know, the whole group take off, because that's just what they do. You got some loaches, I mean, you know, hey. Oh, but I want to thank y'all for coming in and partaking. It's obvious we were going somewhere, and this limitation in time is killing me right here. We're going to have to double back again at some point in time and do a live stream. So, me talking to this man, we can feed off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know him, I can pull out of him just what you want from him. But we may stream for 2 hours, 3 hours, just on us, you know, bouncing off of each other. And I'm talking about quality experience. Definitely would be quality. You can ask questions in the chat. Oh man, somebody will be trying to record it and sell it later on. I have to make sure I copyright that particular one. But
true.
I thank y'all for coming in, checking this out. I apologize whether I need to or not. Some people tell me I don't, but I feel I do because I've been streaming for so long. Due to my scheduling, yes, I have to do some pre-records because I want you to have some meat. I want you to eat every week. But I wish I could be here to be able to talk directly to you. But here you go. I give you a little something to sustain you, to keep you hungry, you know what I'm saying? And on top of that, to sustain you and to satiate you just long enough for me to come back around the next week. Make sure y'all check out all my social media for those who can't watch the video, but you can listen, and that's what you like to do. I pull most of my video podcast audio and put it on podcast in a podcast version so you can listen to it. But as I always say, tell somebody you love them, because somebody needs to hear it. Take care of those fish, and we out. Peace. Yeah.